You're listening to Madiba's Radio.
Opula pule Madiba's Radio.
Utelerije Madiba's Radio.
Otecha deza Madiba Radio.
Omametse Madiba's Radio.
Akalise na Madiba's Radio.
Dalile I Madiba's Radio.
Ulaleli Madiba's Radio.
Niko chechereza Madiba's Radio.
Otecha Madiba's Radio.
You're listening to Madiba's Radio, opening up the waves for you to be heard.
And of course, welcome to Madiba's Radio Podcast, where we connect, inform, and engage. And of course, this is a special episode here on The Law Show because, listen, we've got some iconery up in here in the station. Like, I'm so excited because we are with two representatives of SAMPRA. Now, if you don't know what SAMPRA stands for, it is the South African Music Performance Rights Association. Imagine. So all the bops that you hear, everything that you hear on radio, on Spotify, wherever music is playing, listen, they got you and they got it locked down. But I'm going to allow them to introduce themselves. How are you two wonderful ladies doing this morning?
Good morning. Good morning to you and your listeners. My name is Pumela Saba. I'm the manager, admin manager and revenue growth at SAMPRA, here with my boss, Advocate Nsietso.
Go ahead.
She's the chief, head of department, so I report directly into her.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, let me finish the introduction. It sounds very half-cooked. Anyway, my name is Nsietso Mokitimi Makgofola. I'm the chief legal and revenue officer at the South African Music Performance Rights Association, SAMPRA. And we are absolutely thrilled to be part of this engagement this morning and to be here in PE. The weather is lovely, but yesterday when we were trying to land, we had to go up back to the sky for 30 minutes. It was harrowing. It was absolutely terrifying. But we're here to tell the story.
Yes, definitely, because I feel like the weather yesterday was insane. Like, literally, like, I'm always get so shocked here in PE that dogs don't fly away, people don't fly away, because it's a lot. But to find out more about SAMPRA and what exactly they do for our listeners, because some people, yes, they know that, you know, music gets published and there's copyright laws, but they don't really know the details behind it. So I want to find out, especially for up-and-coming artists who want to get in the industry, what exactly does SAMPRA really do?
Okay, I think in order for us to adequately define SAMPRA, we have to define it from a product perspective, because if we just say SAMPRA is an association, and then it sounds very aloof, it sounds like it's something that, you know, is out there, it's not something that you internalize. So if you look at music and see music as a product, as something that somebody sees, put their skills, put their energy, their time, their resources, their money, you know, it's like work for people that they wake up in the morning, sometimes they say they work at night and sleep during the day, but they put as much effort into producing this product as you would if you're producing a water, bottling water in bottling water. So music, it is a product which the creators of the music, from the people that author the music, which are the composers, up to people that then perform the music and the people that record the music, people that distribute the music, people that ultimately use the music, it is a product. And if we look at music as a product, then we understand why there is a reason for SAMPRA to be there. Because what SAMPRA does is to say, here is a product of these people that are our members, that are our employers, who would ordinarily not go to door and license people that are using this product. Just like Coca-Cola doesn't, Coca-Cola as a Coca-Cola, the company, go door to door and sell their product. They use agents. We are agents of musicians, agents of producers. We go door to door to ensure that people that are using this product are properly licensed to use the product. So let me then backtrack a bit in terms of why then is there a need for us to license music. Again, if we look at music as a product, not just as a consumption, as a product, it belongs to somebody. And that person has got what we call an exclusive right to decide how they want their product to be used. Just like Coke can decide, I'm not going to sell Coke in a particular area for whatever reason. So the owners of music can decide on their own that. We don't want our music to be on digital platforms. We only want to or it on CD. We used to have music on vinyl, on CD. Now they've decided want digital or on USB. That is their right. You can't come and say, I've invested in a phonogram player. Therefore, I want an LP. So you're going to produce an LP. It's their right to decide whether they're going to produce LP. It's their product. So they produce this product and put it in the market. And they are the only ones that can decide how that product can be used. And they have allowed that we as consumers of this product can use the music. But then they have defined how that music can and should be used. And that is anchored in the Copyright Act, which says the owners of the music have the exclusive right to do certain things, to reproduce the music, which is to make copies, to do public performance of the music, which is when you're playing music on your podcast, you have to have that permission. They've got several exclusive rights, distribution rights, et cetera, et cetera. So now they've decided we are going to allow radio stations to use our music. We are going to allow shops to play our music in their stores. But it's on the condition that you pay a license fee. So that is we as Sampra then come in as agents of these thousands and thousands and thousands of people that own this product, because it would just not make sense, or it could not be feasible that all the, I don't know how many millions of people that you use in that product would come to you and license you. So we do what is called collective management, where we take this product and have it as a unit, where we say we've got this thing called the music repertoire of Sampra, which is music that has been mandated by our members to license music users, to license you as a radio station to use for your broadcast, to use in your stores, and pay a license fee. So that's what we exist for.
Wow! Like I'm actually like it's actually got so in detail because how basically like the product and how it basically carries out throughout all the systems. It's quite actually interesting. But I had like one question whilst you're speaking. I noticed how you spoke about between the artist and basically the music in itself where it comes to radio stations and public performances. I want to wonder, how does then, for example, if you're an artist signed to a record label, is there a difference between like when it comes to ownership with a record label versus if they're independent?
Okay, no, there's no difference in terms of the legal foundation of your rights or of the product, because the law only says the person who invests in the making of a song, actually they call it sound recording, in the sound recording, owns copyright in that sound recording. So who is that person? Whoever that invests, which we normally call them a record label, they own the product. As an artist, I can be self-producing, or I can be assigned, or I can self-produce and distribute. So I just want to maybe differentiate between two things. Between the production of a song, which then creates copyright in that song by this person that produces the song, which is the producer or the record company. And then the rights of people that participate in the making. A performer participate in the making. They bring their skill. Their performance is then fixed in the song. So we hear the song in this product. We hear their voice in the product. So the Copyright Act then gives them rights, including the Performer Protection Act, rights on the performance in the music, in the sound recording. Those rights include that they will receive equitable royalties when the owner of the song, of the sound recording, has received money from music users. So when a record company has been paid by Madiba's station, then that money is distributed equally between the record company on the one hand and the other people that performed in the making of the song. That includes the featured artists or artists, the people that were session musician, the executive producer, The drum is sometimes I can come in if my clapping is so special. I can be part of the, you know, that group of performers that are credited on the making of the song. So then what also it means is that as a performer, you have two rights, and also as a producer, but I just talk about artists. Mm. As an artist, you've got what is called economic right, which is the right to be compensated for your performance in a song. You also have what is called a moral right, which is the right to be credited. Even when your music is out of copyright, so for a song, up from the date of publication, for 50 years after, there is copyright protection. After 50 years, the copyright lapses. But your moral right sustains, only the economic right that now people can do music without compensating you. But they still need to credit you if they're going to use your music. As a musician, then what it means also is when you go into the a producer's agreement with the record label, you need to set out your terms of engagement. The law doesn't dictate how that is going to happen. It only talks about royalties. But there is so much more than royalties in commercial exploitation of sound recording. You've got sync deals, you've got distribution deals, you've got merchandising, you've got live performances. There are just so many streams of revenue that accrue to somebody when you own this product. So you have to define what is going to happen with respect to those streams. So if you are a self-producing, but then you are distributing through somebody else, make sure that the terms of engagement and the compensations are clearly stipulated. Who owns what? How are you going to divide the money that is going to agree? Who is going to be paying what cost? All those things need to be detailed. The only thing that you don't need to do anything is the money that Sampra collects. What you collect, our rules are very clear. 50% when you do distribution goes to the record company. 50% is distributed amongst the performers.
Ooh, like I actually feel like, firstly, like I actually didn't know that after 50 years, then it actually lapses. Because I always thought that once basically like it's music is published, then it's like you always will get the economic royalties like till the end of time. But after 50 years, it's interesting. But I want to also find out now, because I also don't know when it comes to music and performing and really about the whole financial aspect of things on a more live performance level. I didn't know that, for example, there is more, how do you say this, more sense of like, there's rules and regulations regarding live music. I always thought, you know, you can just perform anything live and then, you know, there's not really like royalties and really documentation there. So I want to find out more about how does it then work on a live performance level?
Okay. Life is slightly different, especially from a Sampra perspective.
Yeah.
Sampra only deals with recorded music.
Yeah.
But remember when we started off, I said there are so many other players within one song.
Mm.
So a song actually starts with somebody doing something. I always say they dream or they get jilted and then they're unhappy and they write an unhappy song, or they're in love, they write a happy song about what love is. Something happens, people, there's something happening, there's an idea, there's something, there's an experience, and then that experience is then translated into something, into lyrics or into a melody, into something. That is called a composition, that is authorship of a song. And the collective of that is called musical work, which is the written part of a song. And that is irrespective of whether this is going to be a live performance of a song or is a recorded performance of a song. Immediately, a song is reduced into a form. And here when I talk about a song, it's not what we hear, it is the authorship, the composition.
Yeah.
So in a composition, in a musical works, you'll have somebody that composes, somebody that arranges, somebody that does lyrics, melody, somebody that then publishes that song. All those people will always benefit when that song is performed irrespective of whether it's a live performance of the song or it is a recorded performance of the song. So in a live situation, if you are not performing, firstly, even if you are performing your own song, one wants to assume that you would have cleared your performing rights with other people that are part of the ownership of that musical work. So I work on the assumption that those have been cleared, you've agreed up front that as somebody that is part of the making of this composition, I will have the right to perform whenever and however. So you don't need to clear. But if it's not your song, please clear the rights before you perform, because you're going to be sued. Clear the rights. So you would clear, and that's all you need to do. But then from a revenue perspective, you have to have, there's two things that will have happen. So you'll have a contract with whoever is the event organizer, or for you, how much are they going to pay you for your performance? This is a straightforward commercial deal between yourself and the promoter of the event. But as a composer or as a participant of the musical work, you then have the right to revenue or royalties that our sister CMO SAMRO, which represent musical works, will collect from people that are organizing events. They'll license them, and then you will receive royalties from SAMRO for the composition of the song or the publication of the song, depending which side of that you are playing it.
So either way, at the end of the day, you will receive basically like your fair compensation.
Fair, I'm hoping, yes.
Because speaking about that, as you may know, that a lot of the times we hear many times in the music industry that when it comes to ownership and rights, and like a lot of our producers and artists and record labels argue amongst each other about like ownership of the music. So how much does SAMRO get involved in that? If, let's say, for example, a producer wasn't credited, or the artist is not getting paid fairly, or one of the writers got left out of the credits.
Okay, two things also. Yeah. There's always two things to a discussion. So one thing is SAMRO is a members organization. So we represent performers, record companies, and you can't be in the middle of a commercial arrangement. If you have agreed commercially how you're going to deal with the music, will not intervene. If you've agreed as an artist with the producer that you won't have exploitation rights, won't intervene. So that is a commercial arrangement between whichever parties are part of that of the song. Where we come in is royalties as it relates to performance rights of the songs. There we've got a mandate from our members to receive all royalties. So say as a record company or as a performer, you can't come to a radio station, which is what I advise some of the, especially the young and up and coming artists, out of sometimes desperation, they'll go to radio stations and say, play my music, you give me exposure, you don't need to pay me anything. And our response there is, if you are our member, you give us a mandate, exclusive mandate, to represent you as it relates to broadcasting and to public performance. So we'll override whatever you have agreed with the radio station, go to the radio station and say, pay us the amount that you're owing, including as it relates to the song that which the performer would have given authorization to play and not pay them. So we'll receive all that. When you received the money from broadcasters, from for public performance with retailers, with restaurants, with nightclubs, with bars, etc., we'll then put all this money into a pot and then do a distribution, and we'll pay according to our distribution rules. Our membership rules are, or our MOI is very clear. We don't care what you have agreed. It's between you and the artist and the record company. When you have received the money, we check who is the record company for this specific song, how much was it played for, by whom, and how much money has been allocated. We take that money after we deduct operational costs. 50%, we don't ask anyone, paid to the record company. 50%, we then look at the credits. Who was credited? So here, the performers, the artists, have got an obligation, whether you are main artist or you are a session artist, you must go and ensure that you are credited. Because what we have found is that the record label will just not credit, but will notify their song. Sometimes they don't even know the name of the featured artist. Mm. They just know the person as Bra, whoever, AKA. And on our system, we don't know, have AKA. Oh, there we do now. But it's difficult to find somebody by their AKA because they are Bra Joe today, tomorrow they are Cindy or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we found that even the record labels, sometimes they don't know who was featured in the songs. The featured performer themselves, they don't know who were their sessionists. Mm. So you, if you're a session artist, you must go and credit yourself on sampler system as a session artist for that specific song. The beauty is that we know that songs now, for you to be placed on the digital platforms, you need to have an ISCR code. So you just need the ISCR code of the song that you performed in. You put it onto our system and you credit yourself as a drumist or as whatever part you're playing. And then when we distribute that money, your name will come up because it's linked to that work, that song. It will come up and then we'll give you your portion relating to what role you're playing in it, because there's different ratios.
Yeah.
So a featured artist will be paid 65% of that 50% of the artist's share, and then all the session artists will be paid 35% of, if you are, it's a group, then they share the 50% equally. So we need the details, because we can only distribute on the basis of the information we get. So you're asking if there's a dispute. Mm. We only come in if there's a dispute in relation to royalties that we have collected. So if you have not been credited and we've paid the 50% to the featured artist and you're a session artist, you come and you show the sleeve. I don't know what the people produce now. Split sheet or whatever they produce now. In the past, it would have been the sleeve of your CD cover that will say this was the drummers, this was the clapper, this was whatever. Then you produce, we check on our system, we put you there. When we then adjust internally the distribution, that the money that was paid to that artist, and then when we do the next distribution, we'll deduct the money, but we will pay you. So there is always that, you know, where we take money here to pay the correct person, or we deduct from there because the person didn't credit, or sometimes people could claim, you know, for songs that don't belong to them.
Ooh.
They do. Especially, we've got some songs that, or money that is sitting in what is called undoc. And if you are aware that, you know, Bra Joe, you know, was singing with somebody, but that somebody died, for argument's sake, then you can go and claim if we haven't been notified. So I'm just saying there's nefarious people out there, but we are not encouraging that. But I'm saying there can be disputes, and we have a mechanism to resolve them.
So in such a scenario, is like, if somebody claims music or like rights that aren't theirs, is it more so like, is it legal or is it illegal?
Theft.
It's okay, just to make sure it's proper theft, because like, especially when it comes to artists who are deceased, it does get a bit complex, and people try to really like get on that because they know that the royalties, everything is just a lot. But I also wanted to find out, so in your experience, would you find that a lot of artists who are both upcoming and emerging and people who have been veterans for years, do you feel like they know all of these rights and regulations and really like the rules behind this? Or do you feel like a lot of artists, they come in the industry ignorant about all of this and then get shocked at the end?
I will answer the question differently, because I would have had to do a survey and make a determination whether, you know, the artists are where they should be. But as Sampra, we encourage not only our members, but all the artists, all the self-producing artists, to tap into our funding that enable the artists and also self-producing artists to gain knowledge, to understand the business of music, so that they don't fall prey to nefarious actions of people out there. So we do have a program within our the Sampra Development Fund where we fund musicians 100% to study the business of music.
Ooh.
And what we have seen is that the uptake is close to zero. Wow. So you can extrapolate from that whether maybe people are well vested with knowledge, therefore they don't need to use the product, or people don't know, maybe, or people know but they are saying, no, not for me this year. 5 years, then they realize, hey, I should have taken advantage.
Should have hopped on it like now type of thing.
Yes.
So it's quite interesting, and I feel like such programs actually like help a lot. When you really think about it, it's like, wow. Especially because one thing about the music industry, it can get a bit tricky if you don't know how to work your way around it. But I recently heard that you guys actually had a workshop recently in Kabeja. So I'm quite excited to hear about that. How did it go first? Like, can you tell us more so about it?
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. So the workshop, we had it yesterday, and it was very engaging, even though the turn-up wasn't that great. But we believe that smaller groups, we get to engage more. It was a very fruitful one, and I believe that whoever that was there or who attended the event, they actually came out with more information, and they were very aware. And they did ask questions which I believe we did answer it was great, and thanks to Mackay for arranging that workshop for us.
Definitely, it was quite a beautiful event, and just to see that not only basically you guys are traveling across the country and making sure that, you know, listen, everybody knows, because I feel like a lot of people assume that, you know, when it comes to such like the music industry in general, it all takes place in Joburg, and that's where you need to be. Which, I mean, to an extent, maybe. But, you know, I feel like to see that Sampra's actually going around the country for people maybe can't be in Joburg is actually quite amazing. But would you say that an artist has to be in Joburg, or it's more so of a, it depends on you?
No, definitely. I think in the past few months or late last year, we've decided to get out of Joburg. I think we've done enough education that side. So we are visiting provinces and we're doing campaigns. We've been to the Northern Cape. We've been to Cape Town a couple of times. Eastern Cape. We did a campaign, a road trip campaign from Cape Town to George. From East London to Durban. So we are on the road trying to do the awareness, educating people about the importance of having a license. If you are a premise that plays music or a business that plays music or use our artists' works, a repertoire, then you need to license for that. And then also we try and engage to the explain to them that this is where the royalties come from. So if people are not licensing, paying for the music that they use, then the artists are not going to get the royalties, of which is not fair, because people need to be compensated of their works and or their hard work. So yes, also we also give awareness, like Menses just did now. On artists, upcoming artists who are not, we welcome any question that has to do with music. Basically, we don't focus it only on music users only. If there are questions or upcoming or people need advice on how to register and be a Sampra member, it's free. You don't have to. We don't charge you for joining. If you need advice, we've got consultants that are available. You can get them on social media platform, ask them to call you back. You have a question or you need to register online, but you don't know which buttons to click, then, or you don't have access to the internet, but they can always call you back. We are available now.
Can I just maybe add something to that answer? You know, one of the things maybe I'm passionate about is how communities can network and create value within themselves, so that we don't have everybody going to Joburg for them to break it. Maybe Joburg you go when you're broken, because you don't want to go to Joburg when you haven't, because it's going to be pretty frustrating, and then you become a failure, or you become so frustrated that you lose your focus, you lose your track. So I think we need to create that value locally. And how do we do that from a music perspective? Is that we have got communities that of music users, which include radio stations, especially your local radio station. Let's forget about the headquarter Joburg radio stations. Let's talk about community radio stations and local radio stations. What we're encouraging is radio stations within communities, they need to be licensed for maybe two simple reasons. One very simple reason is that it's the right thing to do. You need to be compliant. It's the law. If you're not compliant, you are actually committing a crime. You are stealing. It's as simple as blinted as that. So community radio stations out there that are not licensed, which is on most all of them, except for Madiba and a few others, who are not licensed, they are robbing the artists in their communities of their hard-earned money. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if you are promoting or you are using music of somebody that is local, soon that person would be able to break. If you're paying them, they'll be able to produce more and maybe better quality, so that their product, when they hit your Spotify, when they people listen to from, you know, all around the country, then that person gets elevated from local to national and regional and international. But it has to start with people in the locality supporting the artists. The nightclub that plays the local artists, we had that young lady yesterday. Beautiful voice. But if she's been played on your radio station, if she's been played at the tech shop there, but she's not been compensated, what's going to motivate her to make the next song? Nothing. She has to spend time, she has to spend money, she has to spend studio time. If she's not being compensated, she's not being supported by people that are using her product, who is going to support her? We need to be creating networks at a local level to support each other, so that our local artists are able to break it and go national, ultimately international.
Definitely, and I do agree with you that at the end of the day, it does start locally, because if locally there's no support, then yeah, it's basically you're not going to go anywhere. It's very hard to actually like grow as an artist, because at the end of the day, making music is very expensive. As you said, there's a lot of costs. So it's very important to really start local. But as a closing message, what would you say overall is like Sampra's main mission for artists in the terms of, especially because I also consider December is coming soon, and with December coming soon, a lot of artists and a lot of events are going on. A lot of artists are releasing music because they wanted to really be across the holiday season. So what advice would you give for artists, especially as festive season is coming, who are really trying to get their name out there, maybe have their music play on radio stations, events, and just everywhere, basically?
It's very difficult for me to answer the question, because it depends on market forces. And you need to invest in marketing. You need firstly to invest in a good product. So a good product requires skill. It requires management. It requires good equipment for you to make good sounding. You know, you need maybe to create a video for your music to be. So there is a lot that needs to happen for somebody to be able to get out a product that will appeal to the market. So I won't be able to advise artists as far as that is concerned. But my closing or final shot is directed to people that ultimately use that product. Music users, radio stations, especially the community radio stations, the local restaurants, the local nightclubs, the local bars, the taxi industry, the hair salons, anybody and everywhere, the DJs, including yourself. I know you're going to be hosting something this weekend. Make sure that you've got a Sampra license, because that is the only way we'll be able to produce more music when the artists receiving their due, what is due to them, And we as Sampra pay the money to them, which we do. And then they invest that money back into making more music, more exciting music. And then you play the music, you pay. And then we receive the money, we pay it back to the artist. The artist makes even more songs and even better songs. You play the song. So it becomes self-perpetuating. Mm. But it starts on almost ends with people that are using music being compliant and paying. So my appeal is to your listeners, or is it your viewers, that they should spread the message out there. If there are business people that own businesses that are using music, voluntarily go on the Sampra website. You don't know how excited we are when we get a non-solicited application for music. And we get that. Mm-hmm. You won't believe there's people that voluntarily send us the application. So if somebody's listening, they know they've got a business that is not licensed, especially community radio stations, please send us an email. We'll be in contact with you. We'll help you to. And the license fee are not exorbitant. Community radio station is about 10,000 per annum.
Okay.
For a restaurant, you'll find that it's 2,000 per annum.
Mm.
For a mobile DJ who'll DJ 5 times a week, and in December it will be, you know, every day of the December period, is only 3,000 plus.
Yeah,
for the whole year for you to make a million. How about
that's affordable? Like
very affordable.
It's very affordable. Like
very affordable.
And it poses the question of like, if it's so affordable, why aren't people registering? Like, it doesn't make sense.
I think one of the reasons why people don't want to comply is because first, number one, people, they don't see the need to do that. That's why we're doing these campaigns and doing more education so that people can understand why playing music at your premises, like your restaurant, your salons, you need to actually compensate the people who actually took time and then actually went into studio to produce that song. So I think that's one of the reasons why people, they feel like they are promoting someone else's songs, or they bought this. So why? So that's why we are pleading with the community, especially like South Africa as a whole, to actually reach out to us, visit our website, complete those application form, pay the license fee. We even offer payment plan.
Oh, okay. So it's like different ways you can make the payment,
yes.
Whether it's like lump sum or like payment plan.
Yes.
Like, so basically there's no excuse. There's really no excuse.
Yes. What's said is that most musicians yesterday, especially from the engagement, people are expecting royalties, but they didn't understand where these royalties are coming from, because we can't pay you money that we don't have. We need those community radio stations to license, then the money that they pay annually, that's the money that we distribute, because we can't distribute. If your song is played at a community radio station that doesn't even have a license, so we can't pay you back. We can't pay your royalty. That's the sad part. All your upcoming artists here, they are saying that they're waiting for their royalties. And then that's sad, because now, us as Sampra, it puts us at a disadvantage, because now people are expecting money from us, but the money is not
coming through.
Yes, and then now they say, "Yeah, Sampra doesn't pay us."
Meantime, it's like, yeah.
Yes.
So it is. It's very important to actually, at the end of the day, like really register for licenses, because at the end of the day, artists and everybody involved need to get compensated, and it just makes the whole system flow very well from music users back to the music producers, and everybody is happy at the end of the day. So I feel like that is so, at the end of the day, it's a wheel and it's a cycle. But thank you so much for joining us today. It's been really such an informative conversation. I think we've learned so much about the ins and outs of the music industry and music release and just the laws and regulations. At the end of the day, we, once again, as you've been saying, we need to get licenses so the artists can get paid and compensated, and everybody can be happy at the end of the day. So it's been really wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What's up? It's Kuli Chana.
How many more licks will it take Till I get to this Senegada? Cause I've been at it since the past 18. Yo, this
is your boy Ricky Rich.
Oh, I love a Zulu girl. Oh, I say, oh, I love a Zulu girl. Yeah, I love a Zulu girl. Yeah, I say, oh, I love a Zulu girl.
Madiba's Radio.